Good afternoon, Peter Lynham.
Good afternoon. How is it going here, Johnny?
It's good. It's good. Now, obviously, the big news of the week is the invasion of Ukraine by Russia.
Yes.
And what are we chatting about this afternoon in relation to that, Peter Lynham?
Well, I thought there almost certainly is a religious dimension to this conflict, because we've chatted before about the way that the Ukrainian Orthodox Church broke away from the control of the Russian Orthodox Church and was given autocephalous status, as I say, was made recognized as an independent church by the patriarch in Constantinople.
Mm-hmm.
And that caused huge outrage among Russians. And I think there is definitely a dimension, because see, part of the puzzle is who's supporting this move from Putin in Russia. And I think we can pick the Orthodox Church as very important allies of Putin in this aggressive act. Let me explain why. I think that for lots of reasons, Orthodox Church owes an enormous amount to Putin. You know, he's basically rehabilitated it. And they now play quite an important role in legitimating what's going on in Russia. And so that Putin likes to do things and likes to haul in the Russian Orthodox Church. But they are still classically a state church. You know, all their officials are approved of by the state. And it's a very good look for Putin to have Patriarch Kirill, as his name is, to be speaking up in defense of the invasion.
What's the ultimate goal here for the Russian Orthodox Church, to try and reclaim the Ukrainian Orthodox Church?
Is there indeed exactly really? That?
That's yes, it can't
really
be that simple, though.
From their point of well, of course, obviously for Putin,
yes,
there are other strategic concerns,
mm.
But it's very important that the Russian Orthodox Church feels bitterly betrayed by the departure of Ukrainian Orthodox. And for one simple reason, it goes right back to 988 AD. In 988 AD was the moment when the predecessors to the Tsars of Russia, the Grand Duke of what became Muscovy, it was called then, adopted Orthodoxy. But he adopted it in Kiev itself. So Kiev is for Russian Orthodox the very heartland of the Russian Church.
Okay.
So on those grounds, for Russian Orthodox, this is their home territory.
Mm-hmm.
This is fundamental to who they are. And I didn't listen to a full translation of the bizarre hour or more address that Putin gave in defense of his invasion, when he made that astonishing rambling address. But I believe it started in talking about Kiev and 988. It went on through the Napoleon's conquest of Russia in 1812. It then proceeded off to the attack on Leningrad by the Nazis when they abandoned the alliance with Russia in 1941. And then it went on to the breakup of the Soviet Union. And you see, in all of this, Orthodoxy helps to give an air of legitimacy to the attack.
Totally.
And
How much of it would be the Russian Orthodox Church in Putin's ear?
I suspect not very much.
Not very much, but just a good excuse?
He listens when he wants to listen, but he knows he can rely upon that voice.
Mm-hmm.
He has been seen praying for the success and seeking Kirill to bless the invasion. So I think that explains partly why it's a larger campaign that might seem necessary. Because in a sense, you know, you'd think that he could just have claimed those eastern provinces and made do with that. But the justification was a justification that saw the whole of the Ukraine as integral to the Russian state. And that, in effect, is a muddled combination of religion and territorial sovereignty.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think Putin doesn't need them formally to say very much. It's very predictable what they would say, but it shapes his worldview. The only aspect in which Putin is different from the old KGB masters that he was part of is that he's revived the role of orthodoxy. I mean, I read a really interesting story, Johnny, on the ways in which his predecessor, Yeltsin, had announced that the last Tsar of Russia, Nicholas II, had been illegally killed. Pretty interesting decision, that. And this is one that Putin stands beside as well. But they've got the remains, you know, that they've identified by DNA sequencing. And they've got the cathedral all ready to create the Tomb of the Martyr. But they won't go ahead because he needs orthodoxy itself to go through the proceedings of deciding that these bones are the bones not just of martyrs, but of saints. And that's, of course, a big and a tall order.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has a curious way in which he depends upon keeping the Orthodox happy as part of his propaganda campaign.
Outside of the Orthodox Church in Russia, has there been condemnation from other Orthodox groups?
Very, very strong condemnation from the Greek Orthodox, the Constantinople Orthodox, the Istanbul Orthodox, which is the Supreme Patriarch. The only one that appeared to be hovering on the brink of saying something different was the Jerusalem Patriarch, but now he's come down again. It was interesting that he wobbled because, you see, there's a certain amount of dependence. The Jerusalem Patriarch is under the thumb of Syria, and Syria is dependent upon Russian armaments to put down ISIS.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a certain amount of influence there, but it hasn't proved persuasive in the long run. So the world of orthodoxy, other than in Russia, has come out against him. Now, I was interested to look at what would the Russian Orthodox Church of America, which is still under the Patriarch in Moscow, would they come out for or against? But they seem to have come out against the invasion. So, I mean, Russian Orthodox only speaks with a common voice in Russia itself, not beyond.
Just had an email through saying Serbian Orthodox ?
I haven't seen Serbian information, but Serbians are under the Patriarch in Constantinople. So I think it's inevitable that they will be opposed and will have been in favour, you see, of the granting of autocephalous status to the Ukrainians. But I don't know that for sure. You might be right there. You'd think there might be some support for the Russians. But, you see, the Russians have put themselves offside so strongly with this pushing around over the Ukrainian Orthodox Church. You know, the Russian Orthodox have a long history of, ever since they were recreated by Stalin during the Second World War, because, I mean, Stalin, before the Second World War, had absolutely repressed and killed and destroyed orthodoxy as much as he could.
Mm-hmm.
And then during the Second World War, he desperately wanted to get the peasants on side. And he reckoned that the peasants would come if orthodoxy came across. So he restored the Patriarchate. But the Patriarchate was, you know, very closely allied to the Kremlin. So there's been lots of factors whereby there's a mutuality of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours.
Are there any? Is there a comparison between religion and the Republican Party? Is that an adequate comparison? The Russian state and the Orthodox Church.
It is, except of course in America you've got plural forces to choose. You can choose your religion.
Mm-hmm.
In Russia, even though other religions are technically tolerated, they're increasingly finding it very difficult to survive because of pressure. Of course, the Orthodox hates what they call the sects or the cults that have come in. And the Jehovah's Witnesses have in the last 3 years experienced just appalling treatment where anybody has been imprisoned that stood up and said, I'm a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's true that the Republicans are using a certain amount of religious support to help give them the mandate to take a pro-Trump position. And Trump, of course, was the anointed of God and still is in the eyes of some of these people.
Mm.
It's kind of odd because maybe wacky positions are more easily justified if you've got a bit of religious mantle covering you.
Yes.
It does feel that way, doesn't it?
Certainly does. It does in this case. All right, Peter Lynham, very interesting. We'll look forward to chatting with you next week, mate.
Cool. Excellent.
Bye.